Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. I've been teaching for a number of Wednesday nights on the science of the Christian life. I'd be more than happy for you to listen if you'd like. I don't want to interrupt any conversations you may have been carrying on, but tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, the science of fellowship. The science of fellowship. Now, I hope you get the idea in these lessons that you're supposed to live on purpose. That to me is the most important thing I'm saying. You're supposed to live on purpose. You ought not to float through life. Just whichever wind blows, you go that direction. Or you shouldn't just glide through life and let the wind push you whichever way it does. And you shouldn't let external influences determine the way you live. You ought to live on purpose. And tonight I'm going to talk about something I think that is as important as anything that I'll teach on. Not as striking, not as perhaps as interesting, but as important, probably more important. And that is how you choose with whom you fellowship and why you choose with whom you fellowship. We'll break it down, make a science out of it, the science of fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, he goes on to discuss what the old leaven is. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, that word fornicator means any kind of a sexual sin. It would include lesbianism. It would include homosexuality. It would include adultery. It would include any kind of perversion. It's the big word that includes all sexual sin. I wrote to you in verse 9 in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, but then, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Now, verse 11 is my text tonight. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. We're talking about Christian people now here, at least called Christians. Fornicator, or covetous. That's very interesting. Boy, it's amazing how God puts my sins with all the big sins. A big sin is the one I don't commit. But it's amazing how God puts covetousness right upside fornication, just like he did in the Ten Commandments. And or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Now, that's not talking about the Lord's Supper. That's talking about fellowship. He's talking about don't take them out to eat. Don't socialize with them. That's what he's talking about. Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from you yourselves that wicked person. Now, it didn't mean kill him. It didn't mean vote him out of the church. It means don't socialize with him. That's what it was talking about. When it says, no, not to eat, it's talking about socializing. Now, I want you to really listen carefully. I think I'm putting my finger on the Christian life. Father, bless our study tonight and our fellowship in things eternal and things temporal that are spiritual. Bless our study. May we listen carefully. May I have an alert mind that I may present what I want to say so I may convey from what is in my mind and heart to the hearts and minds of these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight, look right this way, put your pencils and pens away, and listen very, very carefully. Last week, I taught on the Christian schedule, the science of a schedule. In that lesson, I taught you how I schedule my life with one thing in mind, and that is how my schedule will affect you. I am, don't laugh at this, but I am a gift from God to this church. That you wish you'd have unwrapped another package, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 that God has placed some in the church, some pastors and teachers, and that's what. And by the way, the title pastor and teacher is all one title. Didn't say pastors, comma, and teachers. Pastor and teacher. Listen to me now. Pastor and teacher is all one title. Please listen. Do your talking a little later now. Don't make me stop like this and listen carefully to me. I've got something I want to get. I promise. I know what I'm talking about. This will help anybody in this room if you'll listen to it and apply it. Because my job in life is being pastor of this church. You're a pastor. That means that I am to give myself to try to be what you need. Now, if I am what you need, then I must be careful that I'm influenced properly. Because I am a conduit. A conduit, when I used to work on houses, a little piece of pipe through which passed the electrical wires. Now, the conduit carried was a transporter of the electricity or the power from its source to the light bulb or to the wall socket or the switch. Now, that's what I am. I'm a conduit. Now, I hear this carefully. I pass to you that which has influenced me. That's all. That's all I can do. Paul said, we can but speak the things that we've seen and heard. So, I am to be to you what you need me to be. Consequently, I take what I have seen and heard. Everything I preach is what I've seen and heard. Everything. I've either read it in the Bible, I've either studied it in books, or I've either used personal illustration. Everything I preach is what I've seen and heard. Now, that means that I have to be very careful what I see and hear. Because I do take what I see and hear and pass it on to you. So, as a conduit, I must be careful what runs through me. Because that will run to you, through my mind, to you. So, I'm trying to be what you need me to be. That means, that's the first point. I don't write them down, but I'm just going to list several things. One, I'm trying to be what you need me to be. Number two, so I must control the influences on me. I am bringing you tonight nothing more than that which has influenced me and how it's influenced me. So if I am to be your pastor and I am to help you, I must be careful that my intake is what you need me to give to you. For that which I have been, which has influenced me, will flow through me to you. Somebody has said, and I believe this with all my heart, you are what you will be, or you will be what you are, plus what you read and the people you're with. What you are right now is what you will be 10 years from now, plus what you read and the people you're associated with. Now, I must control the influences on me. You know, let me say this. I'm an on-purpose man. I don't float through the week and grab something as I walk up here and teach it to you. I'm an on-purpose man. I live on purpose. What I do on purpose. I choose the stimuli that affects me. I choose that which comes to me, through me, and to you. Now, there are several influences. There's the influence of literature. That means I must be careful what I read. Now, why? Listen carefully to this. People say, you will become what you read. That's not all the story. People you lead will become what you read. You see what I'm saying? If I say, I want to be all I ought to be, so I'll be careful of the influences on me. That's selfish. But if I say, I want you to be all that you ought to be, and since God has led me to be your pastor to help you become that, that's unselfish. So when I read what I ought to read, I do it for your sake and not for my sake. When I choose the people with whom I fellowship, I choose that for your sake and not for my sake. People say, you'll ruin your life if you run with the wrong crowd. That's true, but that's selfish. You will not only ruin your life, but you'll ruin the lives of those whom you lead if you're on the wrong crowd. For what you give the wrong crowd does not stop with you. It goes on through you. And somebody influences you negatively, then you have become a person that will influence your followers negatively. And if I am to be, oh, I hope you're getting this. I hurt for you to get it. If I am to give you what you need, I must receive what I need. And if you are to become what you ought to become, I have got to be careful of the influences on my life. Literature. Basically, what you see, what I see, I must be careful what I see because I am your leader as pastor of this church. I must be careful what I see because what I see will influence me and what influences me will influence you. I must be careful what I hear. Oh, you say, if you listen to rock music, it'll wreck your life. Yes, and it'll flow through you and wreck everybody's life that you lead also. I'm simply saying that what I hear, I must hear not because it will help or hurt me, but because it will help or hurt you. And you also have people that follow you. Your children will largely become or be as children what you influence them to be, and what you influence them to be will be what you are influenced yourself to be. So if I am going to influence you properly, I must govern the influences in my life. I must be careful what I read. I must be careful what I see. I must be careful what I hear. I must be careful what I take into my mouth. I must be careful. Why? Because I am your pastor, and I am to help you to grow. But I cannot give you that which I don't take in. I can but speak the things I see and hear. Ladies and gentlemen, you have your scope of influence also. It may be a Sunday school class. It may be an athletic team. It may be a Sunday school department. It may be a children's choir. It may be your children at home, but everybody in this room has somebody you influence, and you owe it to them to be careful what influences you. Well, that's good. I said, number one, I'm trying to be what you need me to be. I said, number two, so I must control the influences on me. Number three, the most powerful influence on me is people. The most powerful, listen, the best way to sell something is to find a satisfied customer to tell about it. I don't care what you're selling. A satisfied customer. Now listen, there is no influence in this world on me like people. Wake up, listen to me, none. Now then, if people are the greatest influence on me and I am to help you, that means the people with whom I fellowship are simply flowing through me to you. You understand that? So I must be careful what I take in from those people because it's going to flow through me to you and through you to somebody else and through them to somebody else. I'm saying it's not enough to say you ought to behave yourself and run with the right crowd because they'll hurt you. No, that's not enough. That is one reason, but the main reason is because it will cause you to hurt those that you love the most. One, I said, I'm trying to be what you need me to be. Number two, I said, so I must control the influences on me. Number three, I said, the most powerful influence on me is people. Now you listen to me. You are not going to run with one kind of crowd and be another kind of person. You're not going to, I don't know who you are. You will be what your crowd is. I said, you will be what your crowd is. Well, I trust my daughter in that crowd. Well, you are crazy. I'll let my son run with that crowd. I trust him. You are foolish.
I don't care who you are. When Peter ran and warmed at the fire of the enemy and got with the wrong crowd, he cursed, he swore, he denied he belonged to the church, he denied he belonged to the Savior, and you're not as good a Christian as Peter was. When Abraham went down to Egypt, Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. It wasn't long till he hired a little gal. He brought her back to Canaan with him. He got her pregnant. A wicked nation was founded. The Ishmaelite nation was founded. Why? Because Abraham got in the wrong crowd and he did not choose the proper influence, and you are not a better Christian than Abraham was. I'm trying to tell you tonight, you be careful the people that you associate with. Not just for your sake primarily, but mainly for the sake of those whom you lead. Don't miss my sermon this Sunday night. Don't miss it. I don't know what it's going to be about, but it's going to be a good one. No, don't miss it. Don't miss my sermon Sunday night. Folks, if I decided to join the local ministry association, you would see a change in me within 6 months. He said, "Well, Brother Howes is stubborn. He won't belong in the Ministerial Association. He ought to go down there to influence it." Listen. The minority right never influences the majority wrong. I've said it again and again. If somebody's got mononucleosis, you know how to cure them? Hey, wake up. I'm teaching up here. You know, somebody's got mononucleosis, how to cure them? Cure them? Get somebody that's well to kiss them. That'll make them well. No. One mono plus no mono equal two mono. One sinner plus a righteous person equal two sinners. Well, you say, "I'm strong enough." No, you, in the first place, either you're a liar or you're an idiot, one or the other. You're not strong enough. You can go through the Bible all you want to. And by the way, I'm saying this. I'm trying to make you unselfish tonight. I'm trying to explain to you, I'm not trying to keep from self-destructing. I'm trying to keep from destroying you. I'm your preacher. I've got to be what you need me to be. In order to be what you need me to be, I've got to control the influences, for I can't bespeak the things that I see and hear, and I've got to control what I see and hear so I can give you what you need. And you have the same thing with the people that you lead. Number four, so I must, for your sake, follow this carefully. I must, since I'm trying to be what you need me to be, and since I must control the influences over me if I am what you need me to be, and since the most powerful influence on anybody is people, then I must, for your sake, make a science of fellowship. Hey, wake up, wake up. Slap yourself. I mean, get as interested in this as you would a ball game. I'm trying to change your life. Wake up. Slap yourself. The guy next to you is asleep. Slap a fire at him. Wake him up. There's nothing. I pray and I study and I work for this hour and I expect you to hear what I say. Now you listen carefully to me. I must then make a science of fellowship. I must study. That's what it means. I must study with whom I ought to fellowship. And I must choose them. Not whomever I bump into, whoever bumps into me, whoever I happen to see. I must choose the crowd that I fellowship with, because that's the crowd, hear me, that's the crowd that's going to influence you through me. So I'm choosing who influences you when I choose the crowd I run with. Number five. I said, number one, I'm trying to be what you need me to be. Number two, so I must control the influences on me. Number three, the most powerful influence is people. Number four, so I must, for your sake, make a science of fellowship. Number five, God chose me to help you, and so I must choose the people that help you through me. Let me illustrate. Suppose tonight, this is my crowd of influence up here. You folks are not going to turn out right. Let's suppose this is my crowd of influence. This represents all the people. Wake up, choir. This represents all the people.
That's why I'm looking at you. Wake up. Nothing worse than a choir member sleeping. The folks out there watching you sound asleep. That's why I'm talking to you. I'm gonna start getting a gun, start shooting people that are asleep here in a few minutes. But he said it's hot in here. It's no hotter than it is when you're sitting sometime watching a little television program that you couldn't go to sleep, you tried to go to sleep. Your problem is a lack of interest. They'll go out to the playoff at Comiskey Park, and they'll stay out there awake all night to get a ticket, and then they don't sleep during the ball game. Your problem is a lack of interest. And you're the ones causing the service to last till later tonight. Now, that means that if these are the people that I fellowship, this is the entire scope of people with whom I fellowship. That means these are the people that you are going to be, they're going to influence you. Because collectively, they will pour through me to you what they are. Now, that means, Mom and Dad, you are going to pour to your child what is placed in you, basically, by those with whom you cut fellowship. Now, what you better do is you better choose the right crowd. And I'll tell you something else, too. You folks that read these books by Watchman Nee and C.S. Lewis and these liberal preachers, so you can find a little something in there that you think is okay. I want to tell you something. What you don't know is that you are influencing people you don't even know as you collect and collect and collect and collect, so someday you can go out and pastor a church somewhere and you'll be giving them what the wrong crowd has given to you. God has chosen me to pastor this church. And since God has chosen me to pastor this church, God has chosen me to influence you. And since I can only influence you with what I am, and since I only am what I see and what I hear, I've got to be careful with whom I fellowship. Number 6, follow me carefully. I must first find out God's advice about my fellowship. I must find out whom God tells me to avoid. Is that right? Now, God knows what you need better than I. Is that right? God gives us in the Bible. He tells us what crowd we should not run with and what crowd we should run with, not just so we'll be better people or worse people, but so we will influence for good those that are under us and those whom we influence. I'm afraid if I do that, I'll turn out bad. That's right. That's the truth. But that's not the main reason. Brother, if you do bad and you run with the wrong crowd, you'll cause others to turn out bad. And I'm not talking just about 2 or 3. I'm saying everybody that is under you, if they call you mother, if they call you daddy, if they call you grandmother, if they call you grandfather, if they call you teacher, if they call you pastor, if they call you coach, if they call you director, I don't care what they call you, you are influencing them, and you can only influence them with the stimulus and stimuli and influence that has come to you. Now open your Bibles, please. Second Corinthians chapter 6. I must find out from God, who is all wise. I must find out my crowd. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now look at me. Why shouldn't I run with unbelievers? Because they'll affect me? Yeah, but that's not the main reason. Look at me. Because they'll affect you. They'll affect you. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What does that mean? That means I'm not supposed to... Turn me up just a bit right here. I'm not supposed to run with anybody who's unsaved. I'm not supposed to run with anybody who's unrighteous. What does that mean? That means I'm not supposed to have a good friend that smokes cigarettes. That's exactly what it means. It means I'm not supposed to have a good friend that uses bad words. It means I'm not supposed to have a good friend that drinks. Socially, unsocially, antisocially, I'm not supposed to do it. I am supposed to run with people. Look, I'm a conduit. And I'm taking what, from those with whom I run, I'm taking what they give me,
over here to those whom I lead. And so I must be careful to only let that pass through me as the conduit. I'm saying, God said, you're not supposed to hang around with a bad crowd. I'm tired of our young people at Hammond Baptist Schools. I'm tired of you hanging around a wrong crowd and thinking you're good. If you're in the wrong crowd, you are the wrong crowd. You moms and dads say, well, my daughter or my son, he or she's a good person, but they're in the wrong crowd. They're not a good person. Because you're choosing your crowd reflects what you are and determines what you are. We got some folks at Howells Anderson College that you students shouldn't run around with. Now, we don't know who they are, but as soon as we can find out, we're going to boot them out. But you sit in the house, I'm trying to influence them for the bad, for the good. They're bad. I'm trying to influence them for the good. It won't work. Because you are being influenced by them and what you see and what you hear. I'm talking about these little people that stay just inside the rules. Just inside. They're not worth a dime. And if you're one of those, go on home and get your carcass out of here. Tired of you ruining our people. I can point to two or three men. They're not men. They're wimps sitting in this room right now who have had influence on some of our girls and got some of our girls kicked out of school. You're a wimp. I don't care. You're the strongest man in the world. I said you're a wimp.
But you say for the house, he's handsome.
I've seen pretty horses. I wouldn't suggest you date one of them. I'm saying there is a reason why I must run with the right crowd. I can sit on an airplane beside a new evangelical, and in 2-hour flight, I change. I was on the airplane, sit down beside a lady looked like a whore. Her skirt should have been worn under her underwear. That's how short it was. Right across the aisle over there was her husband and her two children. His hair was down at the small of his back. Looked like a bum. So I struck up a conversation with him and found out he was a gospel singer. Now I was stuck. I was between him and her. She is next to me and he is across the aisle taking care of two kids. Typical American family. I'm a gentleman, except when I preach. But I'm a gentleman. And so I was courteous. Do you know, before I got off that plane, he and I were buddies. I was affected. And the only difference in you and me is I admit it, you don't. Now, if I can be influenced in 2 hours, you can be influenced in 2 months. You kids down here, those loose kids at school, don't run around with them. Now, you be friendly. Speak to them in the hall. Be courteous. But don't stop in the hall and talk to them. And don't go to their parties. And don't be around them. If they come to youth activities, you be nice and courteous. Don't be a snob. Don't be hateful. But don't you socialize with them. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because you are taking in what you see and hear right now that you'll be giving to your children in less than 10 years. So if you don't care about yourself, think about your children, because you are a conduit passing on all the influences of your life through to your children someday and others that you may lead. All right, going down, verse number 15, 2 Corinthians 6. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And that word Belial means useless, good for nothing, lazy, shiftless people. Or what part had he to believe with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now turn back, please, to Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. What does it mean? It means that that fellow who in this church several years ago decided to take some false doctrine. Listen to me out back here. Decided to take some false doctrine and spread it around. That means when he came to you and said, I won't take you to McDonald's to eat, you said, I'll go by myself, thank you. Listen.
95% of all the disgruntled people in our fundamental churches in America are good people that have been around the wrong people. And these people have influenced them, and they in turn influence somebody else. Listen to me. You're not, God, the omniscient one said that you're not supposed to socialize or fellowship with people that are church splitters and dividers and rebels and cantankerous and disloyal. You're not supposed to socialize with those people. You're not supposed to take them out to eat. You're not supposed to go to a banquet where they go. You're not supposed to have any regular social intercourse with them at all. I mean, in no fellowship. Why? Why?
When you're in the house, how are you going to help people? Let me suggest how you help people. How about going house to house and knocking on doors and telling them how they can get out of hell and go to heaven?
How about getting you a bus route and leading that bus route? If you want to help people, how about getting a Sunday school class and teaching that Sunday school class? If you want to help people, do it God's way and not the devil's way. And if you do it the way you want to do it, you're going against the way God said do it. God said don't eat with them. That's what he said.
Now, I choose the people I run with for your sake.
If I were strong enough not to yield, I still am a conduit through which is flowing them to you.
All right? Number 7, for your sake, I must avoid them. Are you following what I'm saying here? For your sake, I must avoid them.
Now, sure, for my sake, I must avoid them, but it's more than that. It's for your sake, I must avoid them. Because if I am what you need, what you need, if I give you what you need, and I have nothing, Paul said, I have nothing of myself. I have nothing of myself. I must collect it from those with whom I fellowship. And I must be careful that those with whom I fellowship pour into me the right power so I can be the conduit through which flows good to you instead of bad. All right? Number 8, bear in mind, in all of this, I am preparing myself to be with you. Just turn this one off. In all of this, I am preparing myself to be with you. When I draw up my schedule, I'm thinking about tonight, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night. When I decide, as I talked last Wednesday night, when to read my mail, I'm thinking about tonight, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night. If I am going to be to you what you need me to be, I have got to be sure that I am influenced for the toward the direction that you need me to influence you towards. Consequently, it's with you in mind that I choose my crowd. Now I'm going to get on a little more of a complicated study. Then the next number, suppose you need compassion. Now follow me carefully. Suppose this congregation needs compassion. Now hear me carefully. You don't just all of a sudden say, compassion, 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 compassion. I have got to get some compassion to give to you. So what do I do? What do I do? I go visit a rest home. Why? Because those people in that rest home can make me thank God for my His goodness. And those people in that rest home can make me have a compassionate heart toward them. And I can walk before you with compassion I got at that rest home and be the conduit that delivers that compassion they gave me to you. See, there's a difference in putting on and being smart enough to know where to get it. If I get up here, if I could manufacture tears, and I can't. I've tried to. I preached many a sermon. I got toward the end. It was like nothing. It was working, and I wanted to cry, and I couldn't cry. The only thing that made me cry was thinking what a lousy job I was doing, and that made me cry. But I'm saying, I can't manufacture tears, but I can choose the stimulus that makes me weep. You don't know how many times in the last 5 years when I wanted to walk to this pulpit and give you compassion. While I was preparing my heart, I picked up the phone and called Becky, our daughter. You know why? Because I needed to be influenced
my burden. I needed to hurt. Because if I hurt, I can hurt with you.
So I choose when I, if I feel you need compassion,
then I choose people that make me compassionate to be around when I think that's what you need. Let's suppose I think you need levity. Suppose I think you need to be loosened up a little bit. That's what you need tonight. If I can get anybody can cheer me up. I'll do better Sunday. You don't know how many times that when I needed to get on top side, so look, you don't sit in your study and say top side, top side, top side, top side, top side. No, you don't. You plan to know yourself enough to know what puts you on top side and who puts you on top side. You don't have the foggiest idea. How many times on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock I called Dr. Bill Rice, used to. Not the one now, the one used to, Dr. Bill Rice. You have no idea how many times I called Dr. Bill. You know why? I wanted Dr. Bill to flow through you. Flow through me, to you, and through you to those you lead also. What was I doing? The same thing you do if you the old days when you went down to a soda jerk. And you wanted some strawberry. Had the little knob over here, stuck that glass, and strawberry came out. But anyway, strawberry came out. Well, bless God, I got some friends. I got some people I associate with. If I want compassion, I go talk to them. If I want to be on top side, I go talk to them. If I want to preach a funeral, I go talk to the choir. Look, live on purpose, folks. Live on purpose. I mean, look, a soda jerk studies how to make a milkshake more than you study how to make a life. It says here, strawberry, vanilla, chocolate, pull down the lever and let the flavor come in. Well, why don't you decide how to get a lever? Let the flavor of compassion and love and joy, let it come in. Find out who put you in a certain mood. When you need to get in that mood, go see them. Next number. Suppose you need optimism. You know some optimistic people? Call them. Wait a minute. If you need optimism, you should never want optimism to use, but to carry. Well, I want to go to somebody that makes me happy. No, I want to go to somebody that gives me happiness I can carry to those that I lead. I want to go to somebody that gives me joy. No, I want to go to somebody that gives me enough joy to take to those I need. You need me to be what you need. If I am what you need, I've got to find out where to get what you need, and I can only say that which I've seen and heard. That means if you need faith, if you've got a son or a daughter or a class member, anybody that follows you, that needs faith right now, why don't you hang around somebody that's got a lot of it? Man, when I moved to Hammond, we had our battle 33 and 34 years ago, and 32 and 31 and 30 and 29, 28, 27, 26. We had our big battle back yonder. You know who I called almost every day? Yes. Brother Roloff. Brother Roloff. Sure. After I talked to him 10 minutes, man alive. Bring on the deacon board. Don't you see what I'm saying? If you're going to make a chocolate cake, you might better look in the cabinet and get the chocolate out. But the average cook knows more about making cakes than you know about making a life. Suppose you just go to the kitchen, cooks, pour some of this and some of this and some of this and some of this. Then you have the same kind of cake that you have a life.
And that's why you're mixed up, and that's why you're not happy, and that's why you're not doing anything, and that's why many a preacher fails, because he's trying to improve himself rather than improve his people by being a conduit to take influences to his people from the places that influence him. Now follow me carefully. I'm not giving you one anymore because you break them while you got them. Now, I want to tell you something. You got to hear me. You say, well, how? That's so mechanical. Go get your car fixed. Well, what's wrong with it? Just won't run. Just work on it. No, you got to know what's broken. And then you got to know how, what tool to fix and what part you need for what's broken. And the truth is, most of you men know more about the car you drive than the body you drive and the soul you carry. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. But now follow me carefully. With people like this, there's a liability too. You call this, and I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. You call this unselfishness. Now don't miss this. You call this unselfishness. I must be around this person in fellowship with this person or these people because they have something that my people need. Up in the balcony, y'all listen to me. Hey, up in the balcony, listen to me. These people have something. By the way, I got something you need too, in case you don't know it. You probably don't know it. But now follow me carefully. These people that are always thinking about what their followers and those whom they love need, there's a liability to it. There's always a liability with every asset. There's a negative with every positive. Now, I'll tell you something about us. We want to give you what you need so desperately. If we don't think you need us, we'll withdraw. Follow me? Because we want to be what you need. And if, now hear me carefully, some of you followers, you children ought to know this, especially you adult children ought to know this about your dad. I wrote all of our children a letter years ago and told them this. I said, your daddy loves you very much. Cindy, you got that letter. I said, your daddy loves you very much. And I went on to say, but your daddy spends his life trying to help people. And sometimes he doesn't think that he's needed at that particular moment. And he may withdraw himself. And I want you to know it's not, and we may act like we're aloof. So that means if you have a husband or a wife or a friend or a leader, and you think that husband or wife or friend or leader really is wanting to be what you need, then you've got to be very careful to respond positively to them so they can read you, so they can know what you need, and it needs to be even what you want. You follow what I'm saying there? The great leaders in America that I've known are men who are aloof. Dr. John Rice was an aloof man. Dr. Brother Olaf was an aloof man. Dr. Robertson is likewise an aloof man. Dr. Tom Malone is an aloof man. You know why they're aloof? They have what you need. But they must feel that you know that need. Illustration. July is on the way. Brother Lapina says, I need to meet you at the airport. He comes out the airport. He says, we got to plan a youth conference again. And I say, won't you take it this year? He says, look, you got to do it. And I say, look, Brother Eddie, I'm getting too old for this stuff. Let me just help you organize it behind the scenes. And here's what he says. He says, you, and he calls another name, are the two best youth speakers in America. And these young people need you. Now,
He goes through the same thing every year to convince me they need me. I'm not trying to be hard to get, because in my heart, I know I'm the greatest youth speaker in America. And by the way, I can speak to young people, but I will not unless they turn the switch on. Leadership's that way. Leadership never forces itself. Leadership must be encouraged. So I'm saying that if you have a leader, if you have a mother that lives for you, or a wife, or a husband, or a pastor, or a friend, or some leader, or a school teacher, and you know that that leader is trying to give you what you need, then you must be very careful to let them know. And you also must be careful when they give you what they think you need, that you respond to that, so they, or else they'll very quietly, as the Robertsons and Roloffs and Rices and Tom Malones do. How many times have I seen Dr. Rice go to his room? I knew why he went to his room. He felt like he was an old man. There were some young preachers there having fellowship. He didn't want to bust the party. Now I'm there now, I understand it. A group of young preachers are having fellowship, cutting up. They got to convince me they need me, or I'll go to my room. Not because I'm hurt. Not because I'm aloof. Not because I'm pouting. But because I sense that they don't need me there. Now, folks, I'm going to close here in another hour or two. The whole lesson tonight is wrapped up in one little line. Your followers need you. But it's not you they'll get. It's your influences they'll get. And the biggest influence in your life is people. Which means that as scientifically as a research scientist, as careful as the deft hands of a surgeon, you should choose the people that you're around. Not so you will be happier or your life richer, though that's a wonderful byproduct of it, but so those whom you love and lead can get from you what they need from those that gave you what they need. So I'm just a messenger boy. Now I've got to be careful whose message I take. I'm just a carrier. I've got to be careful whose life I carry. You know one reason why when I walk through that door I'm on top side? Because I'm around people who are on top side. There is no way. None. Zero. Zilch. There is no way that you can run with the people who are one way and you lead your followers another way. For through you will flow all the influences of your life to those whom you lead. Shall we stand?